Hello, Slough. It's nice to be here. Always an encouragement to come here. And it wasn't much of a story after that, apart from the fact that we've had quite a few things that we wanted to complain about, things which aren't going well. I've got a cough. So it's really quite challenging to read something about rejoicing always, but God as ever is faithful. When you start looking into his word and saying, what do you want me to share? He just started bringing stuff up, bringing stuff out. Nothing in a way that I didn't already know. Nothing I don't suppose that you don't already know, but as Flavia in her excellent introduction and stuff she's shared already has taken most of my talk. But that's great, isn't it? I mean, that's how it ought to be. It's not, you know, oh dear, what am I going to say now? It's God's really speaking. He's reinforcing stuff. He says it different ways. So even if you've heard everything I say to you this morning, and you've heard it before and you think, yes, I know that, well, do you really know that? Because I'm speaking to myself as much as anything else. We've already sung a couple of choruses, one of which talked about let heaven fall, and one which says it's who I am. And I really feel at the moment that those two little phrases express much of what God is doing in his church. He's actually transforming our understanding of stuff. We've spent a lot of time in the last 20 or so years asking heaven to come and praying for the rain to fall and praying, you know, pulling it down, all that sort of stuff. And there is nothing, hear me clearly, there's nothing wrong with that. There are storehouses in heaven full of things which are ours and which we can pull down. That's absolutely the thing. We must understand if it's in heaven, we can have it. That's why it's there. If it's not in heaven, you don't want it. I'm serious. I'll say it once more. If it's in heaven, you can have it. If it's not in heaven, you don't want it. But the other side of it, it's who we are. And I shared in a dwell a few weeks ago something that God just spoke to me while we were worshipping there. And that was in the beginning, in Genesis, it doesn't say the rain fell. It says a mist came up from the earth and watered it. And I really believe God is trying to get us to understand that we've also got within us all these things that we keep pleading for from heaven. So, and it's not one or the other, it's both and. But we really need to understand that there is stuff in us which needs to be expressed, to be let out, because that's where the life is. That's the whole purpose of us being transformed and filled with the Spirit, is not that we spend all our time then on our knees pleading for stuff from heaven. Whoa. It's a difficult one to sort of get our heads around sometimes, because there's nothing wrong with saying, let it rain, let, you know, all that stuff. But actually, God's plan from the beginning was that there was rain. Whoa, but there was also what came up out of. In John's Gospel, where it says, you know, those who believe, it doesn't say into them will pour rivers of living water. It says out from them will come streams, will come rivers of living water. And so it is with every gift of the Spirit. It's as we give expression to them, as we allow them to flow, that things begin to happen. It's not as we get on our knees and begin to implore God to do something he's already done. Sorry, my phone keeps going back. This is why I need, obviously, the new... I don't think so. I don't think so. Okay, well, I hope this makes sense as I go through it, because it really is a load of stuff that God just seemed to be downloading to me. we were at, Jean and I were with Patrick at the annual Healing Rooms conference up in Halifax a few weeks ago, and a couple who'd come, who were the keynote speakers for the weekend, brought a message which was, in principle, we needed to go back to our first love. It's from Revelation, where Jesus is talking to the church in Laodicea, and the criticism of the church is that they're lukewarm. And I am not here today to say, come on, church, you're lukewarm, you need to buck your ideas up. But being lukewarm is always a state that we can fall back into if we're not careful. And it's not a good place to be. It's not nice when you hear God saying, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Show. Someone came up to me at that conference, someone I've known for a long time and who's... prophetic words I respect, and said God has given you a word, and that word is lukewarm isn't going to cut it. And he said quite clearly, it's not a word for you, you know, it's about you, and it's not a word, I don't think, for me to come and say it's about you instead. It's a word to say, who wants to be lukewarm, for goodness sake? Let's press into the things of God. Lukewarm is not a good place to be. And as I said right at the beginning, I've got reason to grumble about stuff, I suppose. Always got things that aren't going as well as you'd like them to, things which are irritating. I've got a bit of a cough at the moment. Jean and I have been trying to shake coughs off for quite some time now. They keep coming and going. Feeling very tired, not sleeping particularly well. We've got that in the family with a little one who doesn't seem to want to sleep at all. And so a son and daughter-in-law who are absolutely at the end of their tether knowing what to do. Lots of things that sort of conspire against you. And what God spoke to me about with the lukewarmness thing was that you've got two choices when things are not as easy and as nice as you'd like them to be. One is, you can cut back on everything. You can retreat into a place where actually things are more manageable. And I'm not talking necessarily practical things. I'm talking spiritual things and practical things. I'm talking about life, how we deal with whatever's coming against us. We can either, as I say, step back and say, right now, I've cut out a load of stuff, including my relationship with God and everything else. I'm just not going to try as hard. And so I can cope better. That is a recipe for ending up lukewarm very quickly. The other thing is to accept that there are things that you can give attention to. And I'm not here to start talking about spiritual and practical disciplines. All I'm saying is, if you are feeling lukewarm for any reason, if you're feeling tired, if you're feeling under the weather spiritually or physically, you can actually still press into stuff which is going to do you good. Okay, that's a bit of background. There are so many passages. I was so encouraged. There have been several shared already about joy and rejoicing, and I've got a whole load more, which is really good. Just shows how many there are where God encourages us to rejoice. And one of the passages, I suppose, which is frequently drawn out and just spouted, is the joy of the Lord is our strength. Lots of choruses based on it, and it's absolutely true. It comes from where Nehemiah is the governor of the being restored Jerusalem, and it comes when Ezra, as the high priest, has just read out to the people books, scripture, which they've sort of rediscovered, which they've got to the bottom of. They are so impacted by the word of God that's been spoken to them that they are all on their knees. They're all praising God for the fantastic word, but they're weeping and mourning, I suppose, about their own state and the fact they've got back to Jerusalem and that's been built and that's great and he's been merciful, but hey, there's an awful lot left to do. It says none of them had anywhere to live. They've rebuilt the walls, they've done all this. There are 40-odd thousand of them mentioned and nowhere to live. And they are impacted by God and I suppose being quite religious, they're wailing before God and praise God and woe is us and all of that mix going on at the same time. And the word from Nehemiah is, go home, celebrate, this day is holy to the Lord, you've heard the word of God, go home, have a party. Have a party, rejoice in your God, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what you'll do. You won't get there by weeping and wailing and everything else. It's actually doing the joy thing. And of course, that's Old Testament. So their only way, and it's a valid one, of rejoicing, was to keep reminding each other of the great things God has done. So there they are, rejoicing in their God. That's repeated again up in Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's something that we're supposed to be doing all the time, as Ian obviously was talking about last time. And that's in 1 Thessalonians 5 as well. Now, just to floor my argument completely, in 1 Peter 1:8, it says we're filled with inexpressible joy. Which rather wrecks my argument that we ought to let it out, and it's in letting it out that we get things. Can I just be really clear? When he says it's inexpressible, that means we can't find words to express it. It's too good. It is past our understanding, as is the peace of God and so on. It's way beyond. It's not that it's something that has to be kept in. Gosh, when I was first a Christian, we used to actually laugh about people singing, I've got joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Ha, I won't sing it. Now it'll make me cough. but sometimes you met Christians whose joy was so deep down. You think, it would be really nice if it impacted your face and made you smile. You know, it was, and they would tell you, brother or sister, don't tell me, I've got joy. You think, well, good, fine. So, whilst Peter calls it inexpressible, he does not mean joy that is not meant to be expressed. He's talking about joy that we can't find words for. Now, where else do you hear that we can't find words for things? We can't find words to pray sometimes for things. We can't find words to prophesy even. And what happens? The Spirit helps us. That's another one of the spiritual gifts that we're told, let it out. Let it out. Not ask for it to come again. We've been filled with the Spirit of Jesus. We have the Spirit of prophecy. We have. What we don't do is let it out. Shing. Whoa. And the danger of coming and talking about something like this is that people say, and they have said to Jean and me, you're carriers of joy. Well, that's good. That ought to mean we're believers. It shouldn't mean, actually, we've got any special ministry whatsoever. What I think people are trying to say is that the fruit of your ministry when you come and pray for us is a release of joy. Now, that I'm happy with. I'll go with that any time. And, you know, when I finish my little talk, we can have a good time of releasing joy amongst each other. But I'm here, as I said, partly on a very personal basis, to receive as much as to give. We've all got something to give in that line. It's not a question of I and Jean carry joy, and we're quite happy to pray for you to receive a bit, because that would be the rain. And I'm not here today to ask for rain to fall on you. I'm here today to stir up the mist that's within you to come and water. Okay? Whoa. So I can do that. We're happy to do that, but there's a different understanding of what it is about what we're able to do in ministry then. I'm not knocking people who have something to impart because they've received it and it is to be imparted. Whoa. But we need to know who we are and the fact that we've got joy in our hearts. We have peace in our hearts. We have all of that within us. And when we're not feeling it, it's time to dig the well, dig into the well, and to draw up the water that's already there, rather than to ask for it to rain again. It's amazing. Whoa. I've said nearly everything I came to say. It doesn't take much, does it? It's not that deep a message in some ways. All I can tell you is I'm not standing here saying, I've always had this right and you miserable lot haven't. Shoo. Father, even now I ask by your Spirit that you just begin to stir that again in us, Father, that you just give us a bit of time right now where we can just realize quite what it is that you've deposited in us. Father, we're so grateful. We don't want to complain. We haven't come here to complain. We've come here to receive your mercy and your goodness. We've come here to express it amongst each other. Whoa. Hallelujah. Just a few more things. Just in case you're wondering, and for those of you watching on audio, I've got a pair of red shoes on. If you haven't seen them, they are red shoes. I bought them in France because part of our prophetic walk is Wales, France, England, Wales, France, England, France, Wales. And so I like to pick up things from different places, and I bought these in France. But they are quite unique. They're the only ones I've actually seen where everything is red, even the soles are red. And I saw myself wearing a pair of red shoes in a dream I had. So I bought them. They're not magic shoes, okay? Just to be really clear, they are not magic shoes. They're not even, in that sense, anointed shoes. They are a prophetic reminder of the fact that I had this dream and that God was speaking about wherever we go. We have the beautiful feet on the mountains proclaiming good news. So they're a reminder. They're not magic. I've yet to source myself a Welsh shepherd's crook. That's for our one. I've got to look a right nana, aren't I? But so what? I just think every now and again God does things to remind me. And I just want to say one thing right at the end of my little talk about what you might call frivolity. I think some people fight shy of expressions of joy because sometimes things can get a bit lively and can seem a bit silly. And of course there are warnings in Scripture about let there be no frivolity amongst you and all that sort of stuff. And it's sobered up the church for a long time to an extent that they were, you know, smiling in church, dancing in church, singing in church was almost taboo unless it was a tested and anointed song, you know. And that's the enemy trying to rob us of something which is a legitimate expression of our joy. It's not silliness. I don't approve of crude jokes and that sort of thing. I don't approve of jokes which pull somebody else down so that we can have a laugh. That's not what it's about. But for us to have fun and enjoy ourselves together, well, is quite legitimate, and it's actually a help to expressing some of this joy. Well, so I hope we don't get offended sometimes if we seem to be larking about a bit. It's the joy. It's the children's joy in the presence of Father. And that was it's a bird's joy. It's all sorts of things. It's what we were made for. It's who we are. And that is pretty much everything I've got to say. Don't really know what I want to do. I suppose if people want to come up and get be prayed for, that'd be brilliant. Hello. Right, that's a good question. It is a good question. I was asked, have I got any practical tips for? Was it for getting out of?
Yeah.
What do I do to dig into the well or to grow? Right. Okay. That's a very good question. I think a lot of it is to do with reminders. So it can be simple things, and so wearing the shoes certainly works. But obviously that doesn't cut it if you haven't got the shoes on or you haven't got them with you. I think first and foremost, I have always tried since I realised that there was more to life than Bible study and quiet contemplation, that we spur each other on. We're encouraged in lots of places in Scripture to stir up the gift that's in one another, and obviously the context of that is specific gifts, but it's generally true. So I try to make sure that I keep in contact with and regularly meet with people who are like-minded, who want to just stir up the gifting that's in us. If I can't, then I try and listen to something where somebody is sharing something like that. And, you know, the world's found out, hasn't it, that it's that laughter's infectious. The world has, you know, started doing stuff on management courses where they get everyone to laugh, and it's wonderful. But it's a very narrow sort of band of laughter on the top of a life which hasn't changed very much. So it might lighten our countenance for a while, but it doesn't have any deep seated stuff. But I like hanging around people who will go, come on. Yeah. But you said, well, exactly. Now, Ian just said, as I just put my hand on his stomach, started laughing. He said, it's coming back on you. Exactly. That's what you asked me. So what do? Anything that releases what you know is inside you. Anything. So, whoa, shing. You ask Peter Dacre what he does. And if he doesn't start laughing, I mean, I can send a text to Gloria and say, read this out to Peter. And then 5 minutes later, I get a text back saying, how did you know? You know, it's a stirring up. Now, is that frivolous? If that's all you did, if that's the only thing you ever did and meetings were all about just making everyone laugh, you've missed the point completely. But in order to stir up the life that's within us, ministering to one another, and whoa, that's what I do. I don't think that being able to laugh is a unique gift. I think it's a human characteristic. Our Father in heaven laughs. Scripture says that very clearly. It's the language of heaven. Whoa. I wonder. Another aside. Whoa. Can you imagine that Jesus only ever talked sternly and severely to his disciples? I know he put them in their place a few times. Do you not think they had fun with him? Do you think they'd have followed him for 3 years? And, if it was just the, well, it's superb teaching, you know. Which, of course, it was. But, you know, there's tongue-in-cheek stuff in the Gospels. Even the way Jesus talks to the Pharisees sometimes, you know, you think... He was having a good laugh then. Sorry, you won't tell me? But you want me to answer your question? Okay. Well, you tell me, I'll tell you. You know, that's humour. There's all sorts of stuff in there. So, yeah, what do? I try and release it. It's the same as if you're feeling ill, there is nothing like praying for someone who's sick. It's allowing the flow from what's in you to come out. It's allowing the mist to come and water your own life. And so that, you know, brings me back neatly to the beginning, which is that I came over here knowing that if I started saying some of this stuff to you, I've got the best chance possible of actually my cold disappearing and all the rest of it, because it begins to flow. And I'm not here to minister to you in that respect. I'm here to share something which stirs me up, which I know will stir you up because you have the same spirit in you that I have. And on that, whoa, shing.
Yeah, I just I wanted to say that obviously we laugh because, you know, God is good, and I've spoken about this is going to get healed today. So I was saying in the beginning I talked about joy. Let's operate in joy and let's be joyous together. And I think I just really wanted to say also that when Julie shared about a pet bird, how it flew closer onto her lap and then onto her shoulder. For the bird, it was a safe place, and for it, you know, it perhaps started trusting again. It's because it discovered the heart of its owner for it. So we can laugh without knowing at that time, but as we draw closer, we see something of God that justifies our laughter. It's not senseless. It's not meaningless. It might offend some people who don't know the Lord yet, but we're not just doing it to put on a show. We are laughing because we know, and if we don't know yet, we will find out as we draw closer His beauty and His glory. So, so I think it'd be really great if we have a time of prayer, a time of laughing. I know a few weeks ago when Pete and Gloria were here, we had a wonderful time. So I think if we can recreate that, let's just, maybe you need to laugh at the enemy, you know. Maybe there is something that's really, really troubling you and you just need to laugh it away because God is good. So I'm going to ask Ian, is that okay if you can come up along with Nigel? And I was going to ask Jean if she wouldn't mind coming up as well. I have been so blessed by you guys, especially when we were over in Windsor Hall. I remember that time. So if we can have a really good time of prayer and laughter, that'd be great. Check.
Why don't you...